This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, continuing our NFL previews as we do the AFC West this week, getting ready for the season opener starting Thursday night and into this weekend. We go to Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star to talk Kansas City Chiefs on a Progressive Insurance Hotline. Progressive, make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Blair?
Doing good. Hope you are, too.
Thank you very much. All right, the overhauling of the defense. Give us a little inside look at what it's going to look like for Kansas City going into 2019.
Well, it'll be different in structure and personnel. They switched from a 3-4 to a 4-3 with new coordinator Steve Spagnuolo. They've replaced veterans like Justin Houston, Eric Berry, Dee Ford, with veterans like Frank Clark, Alex Okafor, Tyrann Mathieu. So the idea was to go from last or near last in a lot of major defensive categories to whatever level of improvement they can reach. And with this offense, I think if you can get to the middle of the pack in the NFL in terms of defensive rating, this will be a pretty successful season.
And how much of an Achilles heel was it for a team that did really well and put up a lot of points and was the number one seed in the AFC, but was that always an underlying feeling that there is this defensive problem with Kansas City, or is it just something that they wanted to do to change up for 2019?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I've wondered if the Chiefs had won the AFC title game instead of losing it to the Patriots, would this level of change had occurred? And I asked General Manager Brett Veach that during the offseason, and he indicated that, yeah, some kind of change would have been in the offing, but maybe not to the extent that we saw it. So it got to the point a year ago where it felt like the Chiefs had to outscore people to win. They were just not getting stops, and it was just the defense was just so bad. I mean, it was they gave up a ton of points. And again, the loss to the Patriots in the AFC title game. Once the Chiefs lost the coin flip in overtime, there was a sense of dread of the fans at Arrowhead, because they didn't think they were going to get the ball back, and they didn't. The Patriots picked up 4 third down conversions, third and longs, and Chiefs couldn't get off the field, couldn't hold the Patriots to a field goal, scored a touchdown to end the game without Mahomes and the offense getting the ball. So that game, as happy as Kansas City was to be in the AFC title game for the first time in more than 2 decades, it left a bitter taste in people's mouths just because of the way it ended.
Blair, take us back to last November when they released Kareem Hunt, and from the public relations standpoint and from just a overall organization standpoint, I understand why they did that. But from a football X's and O's standpoint, what did it leave? How did they replace him, and how did the offense change without him?
Right. Well, as you remember, the day that the TMZ video came out of Kareem Hunt making contact with a young lady, that was about 6 hours after that was out, the Chiefs released him. And so they were left with Spencer Ware at the time. Spencer Ware, who'd been the number two running back all year. Spencer Ware started a couple games when he was injured, and Damian Williams, who started the season as a number three, ended up starting the final 3 games, both playoff games, and performed really well. They did a great job. Had 100-plus rushing yards against the Colts in a divisional game, and then 3 touchdowns against the Patriots in the AFC title game. So the Chiefs were actually pretty happy with the production they got at running back without Kareem Hunt. And Williams goes into this season as the starter, although the Chiefs did pick up LeSean McCoy just the other day, so that adds to the running back depth. But I'll say this, when it comes to the running back position in the Chiefs, it doesn't seem to have mattered who was back there. In the Andy Reid offense, that position has always performed. Now, I think they do a good job of identifying players that can perform in it, but as good as Kareem Hunt was, and he was terrific, led the NFL in rushing as a rookie, that position has survived and continued to thrive, and I think that'll be the case going forward.
Patrick Mahomes' season last year and how great it was and how statistically it was, is there a correlation anywhere along the line as to how it came so rapidly for somebody who had really just gotten in the league, played what, one game his first year, and then took over the starting job? Is it coaching? Is obviously his natural talent is there, but was it just the right person in the right system? How do we look at the season last year and how it came about?
Yeah, that's right. He did play one game as a rookie, the week 17 game at Denver, and he didn't throw a touchdown pass, but he played well, and he led the team on a fourth quarter game winning field goal drive. So he had good experience in that game. But it was that year proved really pivotal in the career of Patrick Mahomes, because he's working with Alex Smith, who is not as talented as Mahomes, but he's a consummate professional, and Patrick Mahomes will tell you that just observing Alex Smith on and off the field that year, that proved to be Smith's final year in Kansas City and Mahomes' first, was very pivotal. Also, in the quarterback room that year was Matt Nagy, the Bears head coach, who was the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs at the time, and they hired a quarterback coach in Kafka, Mike Kafka, who had been a quarterback at Northwestern, who basically to work exclusively with Mahomes. So, given all that, he had the great coaching, of course, Andy Reid, the great offensive mind head coach. You've got that, and you've got Alex Smith to observe, and you've got this incredible talent, this rocket arm in Mahomes. It was a great laboratory for him as a sit-out kid, basically in his redshirt year for the Chiefs. You know, every quarterback should have the luxury that Patrick Mahomes had. Now, listen, Mahomes had a losing record as a starting quarterback at Texas Tech. He went to one bowl game. There were reasons to believe he would not make it in the NFL. But you put him in a great situation and surround him with terrific talent like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, et cetera. And it was made for him to succeed, and he took full advantage of it.
And how was his offensive line to get those kind of numbers? I'm thinking the offensive line was somewhat solid last year. How did that look last year, and how does it look this year?
Yeah, it was solid. Mitchell Schwartz ended up having maybe his best season at tackle on the right side. On the left side. He was a Pro Bowler, former 1-1 Eric Fisher on the other side. Guards were steady. No, it was a above average NFL offensive line. I wouldn't call it the best in the league, but it was above average and continues to be an above average offensive line. And look, Mahomes, with his ability to escape, helps the offensive line. You know, you measure the offensive line in a myriad of ways. One of those ways is sacks allowed, and Mahomes doesn't get sacked that often because he is so elusive. He's not a statue back there. Now, sometimes that gets him into trouble, but even then, he's learned from his mistakes in that realm, and his escapability is really solid. So, I think that the Chiefs did. Let's put it this way: we started this conversation by mentioning all the changes the Chiefs made on defense. They really didn't make any on offense. Just a couple of little things, including they lost their center Mitch Morris to free agency and signed with Buffalo, so they're bringing in a new center. But pretty much everything else is intact on this Chiefs offense. That's how much confidence the team has in that on that side of the ball.
Blair Kirkhoff joins us, Kansas City star on the Chiefs, as we continue our NFL previews, our Progressive Insurance Hotline. All right, so let's go back again to last April with the Tyreek Hill situation and his tape. Different in Kareem Hunt, but was the feeling in Kansas City, oh, here we go again, what are the Chiefs going to do? What was the fans' reaction to it, and how did the Chiefs sort of take that information, process it, and come to the decision that they did?
Well, when the story started in the spring, there was some of that, Kansas City's been through this before. Doesn't need to go through this again. Doesn't matter how talented the player is. as they proved last year with Kareem Hunt, they're willing to walk away from a player who has issues. The Chiefs didn't have to make a decision at that moment with Tyreek Hill, and it turns out to be wise that they didn't, because as the story unfolded and as more reporting was done on the story, you know, without either side talking about it, the reporting had to, you know, it was a sort of a long and difficult reporting process. But as the reporting unfolded, it became more apparent that there was just a lot of gray area and ambiguity, and it just it wasn't cut and dry. And I think ultimately, when it turned out, or at least it revealed that it couldn't be determined how the child, the three-year-old child of Tyreek and his girlfriend was hurt, then the narrative started to turn in favor of Tyreek Hill. So by June, July, it was, you know, he kind of got the all clear sign when the NFL didn't suspend him after all the evidence that the NFL was presented with. Then look, he was seen as, you know, he was good to go, and he came to training camp and had a press conference, and was actually his about an 8 or 9 minute press conference in which he was really good for most of it, and said and did the right thing. So I think in Kansas City, the story is behind the fans and the team. We'll see how much he takes with it on the road and how the reception he'll get from opposing fans, but it was a very difficult time and made for a long off season in Kansas City.
Blair, I want to ask you a kind of a larger picture question from last season, because there was a lot of people around the country who saw two teams in particular, the Kansas City Chiefs and the LA Rams, and obviously that when they met that night, it was on full display, that these offenses were now taking over the NFL, that this is where the league was going to be going. It had rules to help offense, and now these two teams with their explosive quarterbacks and their explosive offenses were setting the stage. But Kansas City is a long fan base, a deep fan base going back a long, long time, 50 years since their last Super Bowl. Was that the feeling among the fan bases that was changing, or did they look and say, no, we still need a better defense, we still don't think this is a trend, this is just a good year from a good young quarterback?
Well, think about, you're right about the depth of fandom here. You know, the AFL is 60 years old this year, and the Chiefs spent their first 3 years as the Dallas Texans, but the next 57 have been spent in Kansas City. So this has been a team whose fandom has been passed down through generations, and it has been a lifetime of frustration for this fan base, just because they played in the fourth Super Bowl and haven't been back since. That last year's appearance in the AFC title game was the second since then. They've only been twice. I mean, other franchises have been so much more often than the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are probably, in the Super Bowl era, the most successful franchise that hasn't played in a Super Bowl. So the level of frustration here is just pretty high. And to add to that, this is an organization that really never had a quarterback like this since Len Dawson. You know, probably the best quarterback in AFL history. But since then, the Chiefs haven't had a consistently good quarterback. There have been Trent Green had some good years for the Chiefs, and Elvis Gerbach had a couple of seasons that were good, but not championship caliber quarterbacking. They never had an MVP, and so Patrick Mahomes hits the scene last year, and he's unbelievable out of the gate. In his first two games, he throws 10 touchdown passes, yeah, no interceptions. I think it gets to 14 before he throws a pick. So, you know, this place is going nuts. They're enamored. And I don't know if you can blame the fans for just, you know, hitching their wagon to Patrick Mahomes and hoping that the defense comes along. It never really did. And so that's why there was just so much anger. Anger is probably not the right word, but the depth of despair and sadness after losing that AFC title game really, I mean, the calls for the firing of the defensive coordinator were as loud as I've ever heard them, and that happened 2 days after the end of the season, and the entire staff was gone in the next week or so. So, you know, the fans are fans. They're going to react the way that they do. They were taken on a great ride last season, and that ride ended one game short than the hopes were built. Yeah, I tell you what, when you're the one seed in the playoffs, you're supposed to be in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Chiefs were not. The Chiefs were not. So that's where the Chiefs' kind of mindset is heading into this season.
Blair, great stuff. Really hope we can get you on during the season when the Chiefs are doing some things. Really, really appreciate your time.
Okay. Hey, take care.
You got it. Blair Kirkhoff again, Kansas City Star. And we'll come back, give final thoughts on the Chiefs in our NFL preview as we continue on SB Nation AM.